It's Wednesday, the 9th of December, 2015. Happy birthday to Aaron Baines, Eric Bledsoe, Langston Galloway, Gerald Henderson, and Kelly Oubre. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Joel Gibson. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. If you want to be a sponsor of the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. That would be superb if you could do that. You could be just like Joel Gibson. Also, if you are in Australia or New Zealand, make sure you're checking out Moneyball.com.au. They are Australasia's only daily fantasy sports site. Get involved in all the tournaments, the cash games over there, and get yourself some DFS money. All right, we're going to talk fantasy basketball, NBA, of course. That's what you're here for. So,
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night.
Oh, now when I say hello, Mr. Thompson, and press down on your foot, you smile and nod.
No problem.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
I think he's talking to you.
I'm in fact talking to you. And we're going to have Klay Thompson as the monstrous line of the night. He was electric. He played 34 minutes. He had 39 points. He hit 10 threes. And he had 10 threes with about 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Also had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 block, went 13 of 21 from the field. He'd all three of his free throws. I've been talking him up a lot lately, saying that he was on the way back. He'd been a great DFS play of late, and he exploded here. I thought for sure we're going to see the record broken for most threes in a game. It didn't happen. The only downside is that he hurt his ankle at the end of the game. Now, x-rays are negative. He thinks he'll just miss a couple of days, not necessarily games, but a couple of days. So you might see one game miss for Klay. But he's getting back. He's getting... The form is definitely... Returning. In the last 2 weeks, he's ranked 13th. He's averaging 4.7 threes and 22 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2 assists, a block a game, half a steal on 52% shooting. That's back to the sort of Klay Thompson that everyone was drafting at the turn of the first round. Hopefully you bought really low on him at the start of the season. You obviously can't do that now. And it's good to see. You know what it probably shows is that back injury really was causing a lot of issues for him to start the season. It was it was bothering him considerably. And here we are now. He's all back in business. All right, the next one is the waiver wire line of the night. And a bit of a blast from the past. This one from a guy that we gave the waiver wire line of the night to plenty of times to start the season. And that's Marcus Thornton of the Houston Rockets. He played 26 minutes off the bench. 32 points, including 5 threes, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. And while he was getting minutes to start the season, he was a must-own player. But once players started returning, Patrick Beverley, Terrence Jones, he was phased out of the rotation. Now, he got extra run in this game because Trevor Ariza hurt his back within the first 4 minutes and didn't come back onto the court. So Thornton was able to get extra run, he along with Corey Brewer. I don't think that means we need to go and go. Marcus Thornton's back and going to be getting 25 to 30 minutes a game and get him back into standard leagues. But it's worth noticing that if for some reason you have an inkling he's going to get more minutes, the production is likely going to be there. Bickerstaff is clearly not happy with his team. They just lost their second game to the Nets this season. They got swept by the Nets. That's not a good sign for a team that should be a title challenger and is clearly not. So he could be looking to mix things up a little bit. But I don't really think that we need to go and make preemptive ads on Marcus Thornton at this point. The young gun of the night is Rodney Hood of the Utah Jazz. He'd been really struggling of late, but really blew it up here. 17 points with 5 threes, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal on some nice, efficient shooting. Good to see him getting back going. Hopefully, you're able to withstand the poor play that he'd put up before this game. Really, he was really struggling, but he's been a solid back-end 12-team guy for most of the season. His shot has been really bad. The last month, he's under 40%. You need him back to 42, 43%. And then we're going to see him back inside that top 100. So if he is available on waiver-wise, I don't think his role is really going anywhere this year. I think that it's pretty steady at that 29 to 31 minute mark. That's sort of where he'll be for most of the year. I think that he'll get better as the season wears on, and he's a must-own player to me, unless your team is stacked. But he's pretty much a must-own player to me. the dud of the night, spoke about him before, Trevor Ariza. That's because he played for 3 minutes 50. He played, got 2 points and nothing else, and that kills you if you had him in a DFS lineup. It kills you if you lose one of your games in a roto league, your weekly matchup, all that sort of stuff. Not his fault. He's injured. Hopefully it's not too serious, because Ariza is a guy who absorbs a lot of minutes. He hits a lot of threes, gets some steals, decent rebounder for his position as well, and he's quite a useful fantasy player. I'm not dropping him at all. It doesn't appear to be a serious injury. We need to see exactly what plays out, but we're not getting too fussed with what's happening with Trevor Ariza at this point. Just hopefully he's back on the court ASAP. The DFS value line of the night was Marcus Thornton as well. He was minimum salary and put up almost 50 spot, 48.7 points for him. So a pretty huge performance, to be honest. That is you don't get that sort of performance very often, but Thornton has had some pretty big games this year. It was just almost impossible to predict that he was going to be able to do that in this situation. You couldn't have predicted ahead of time that, yeah, Trevor Ariza is going to get injured, so I'm going to put Marcus Thornton in and he's going to go off. It just doesn't work that way. All right, let's look at these games in a little bit more detail now, go through the box scores. The first game up was the Golden State Warriors and the Indiana Pacers. Talked about Clay already. He just destroyed. Steph Curry went 29-7-10 with 3 threes and 3 steals. And Iguodala had a really under-the-radar line. Only 6 points, but 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, and a block on 3 of 4 shooting is still a pretty handy fantasy line. Andrew Bogut was also looking very spry out there. 14-10 for Bogut with a steal and 2 blocks. It is still very hard to own him in 12-team leagues, but if he would get 25 minutes a night, you'd want to own him. The problem is he's more likely to be 19 or 20 minutes, and that makes it tough. Brandon Rush hit 3 threes for 13 points in his 25 minutes, but he's not doing enough in Harrison Barnes' absence. Well, Draymond Green was a little bit quiet, 8, 9, and 4. Leandro Barbosa sat this one out as well, so that allowed some of those extra minutes to go to Rush too. Onto the Pacers, Paul George did his best to try and get the victory, wasn't able to get there, 33, 8, and 6 with 5 threes, 3 steals, and a block. A big night from George. CJ Miles was also hot, 24 and 4 with 5 triples. And Jan Mahimi continues. He's just solid play. He's just really just gives you little bits. Nothing too spectacular, but 8.7 boards, 2 steals on 3 of 5 shooting, and hit both of his free throws, which is big for him. You're pretty happy with what he gave you. We also had a Solomon Hill sighting in this game. He played 21 minutes and went 6-9 with a steal and a block. He's barely played all season, so we don't get too caught up in that. Monte Ellis was terrible. 9 points for Ellis, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal and a block. The 5 assists, a steal and a block, still pretty useful, but really poor shooting. 4 of 11, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, and 6 turnovers. So he's really struggling at the moment. It could be that injury issue that's bothering him, that back and shoulder. But he played 38 minutes, so I don't really want to attribute too much to that, because he's playing through it. He's been able to play decent minutes the last couple of games. His form just hasn't been there. The next game we take a look at is the Portland Trailblazers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Damian Lillard, 33-6-6 with 4 triples. A big night from him. And CJ McCollum, 24-3-5 with 4 threes and 2 steals. Those guys putting up pretty solid numbers and really good shooting in this game, which is not something we expect from them at all. Mason Plumlee, foul problems again. He's in foul trouble basically every night. 22 minutes for him, 10-4-4 with a block. He fouled out in that time, so that limits his playing time. It allows guys like Ed Davis to get more playing time. Davis played 25-6-4, one of his probably quieter games in recent memories. And Myers Leonard struggled here as well, 7-3 in 16 minutes. I still think that Leonard has to be owned in all leagues. Al-Farouq Aminu, he's probably worst one or two players on your team sort of guy that maybe you drop him for a streaming guy, because he's had some decent games, but he's been bad in a lot of games. 31 minutes for him, 4-5 with a block and a 3. Noah Vonleh started. He's just really bad, 2-4 in 11 minutes for him. And Alan Crabb played some big minutes here, 34 minutes for Crabb, 14 points with 3 rebounds. And he's continuing to shoot red hot. I don't believe in him being a 50%+ shooter. I'm not looking at grabbing him in 12-team leagues. LeBron was back from his little rest, 10-3, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Big night from LeBron, and Kevin Love went 18-4-4 with 4 steals, so he bounced back from a subpar game as well. Mo Williams to the bench, this is really killing his value. He played 21 minutes, he can be dropped, I reckon, in pretty much all 10 and 12 team leagues. Dellavedova played 37 minutes and went 17-3-3 with 3 triples, and J.R. Smith, not a good night from him, 8-2-2, but still had 2 threes and 2 steals, so salvaged the value there. Timofey Mozgov, If he'd been owned in more leagues, he would have been the dart of the night. 7 minutes for him, nothing. No stats at all. The knee must be continually bothering him. He has just been terrible this season, just really terrible. And the Cavs went quite small in this game. Thompson only played 19 minutes. They played Jared Cunningham 35 minutes off the bench. So they went extremely small. They've got Tristan Thompson, Timofey Mozgov, and Anderson Varejao, and they play those guys 32 minutes combined. So there was 18 minutes without a center on the court, and they've got three of them. Kevin Love played a lot of those minutes at center. They just went exceptionally small. The next game is the Houston Rockets and the Brooklyn Nets. Corey Brewer really benefited from Trevor Ariza's absence. 22, 3 and 2 with 4 threes and 3 steals. He's still only a deeper league guy unless we hear that Ariza's injury is serious. Pat Beverley, though, is serious. 10 points, 2 threes, 3 assists, 5 steals. He should be owned in all leagues at this point. Dwight Howard, only the 29 minutes, but because they're limiting him due to it being a back-to-back, he'll probably play similar minutes in Wednesday's game. 10 and 9 for Howard, 2 steals and 2 blocks. They're still pretty productive, and James Harden had one of his worst nights of the season. 10, 3 and 9 with 3 steals and a 3-pointer. Quick Ty Lawson check, 0 points in 19 minutes. He had 5 assists, but he's just not going to get it going. And what about the power forward spot? Clint Capella started, played 27 minutes, and went 6 and 9 with not much else. Terrence Jones played 16 minutes, and Donatas Montiunas played 7 minutes. Not good numbers from any of those guys. You can probably still hold Capella in 12-team leagues. Jones, maybe you want to hold, but it's just looking like a complete mess at the moment, and it's really hard to get a gauge on who is going to be the overall big winner at that position. On the Nets, Brook Lopez, 24-8 with 5 blocks. Thad Young, another big game, 20-12-5 with 3 steals. And Joe Johnson, he was a guy that I mentioned yesterday, that this is just further adding to it. You play against the Rockets as a shooting guard, you're going to have a good opportunity to put up numbers. 22, 5, and 8 for Joe Johnson, 2 threes and 3 steals, while Jarrett Jack went 10, 5, and 9 with 3 steals as well. After a real strong run, Shane Larkin played just 16 minutes here, 2 points, 3 assists, and 2 steals, so he still actually gave you nice assists and nice steals. So if you picked him up, I'm still holding. The Nets decided to run finally. Bojan Bogdanovic, big minutes. I've been calling for him to do it all season. They didn't, and they decided to play in big minutes just after I said you go and add Shane Larkin. 38 minutes for Bogdanovic, 19-5 with 3 threes and 2 steals. I don't think Lionel Hollins is necessarily sold on giving Bogdanovic big minutes, but he's someone to watch out for that if he can lock down a 32-minute-a-night role, he can be close to a top 100 player. This next game, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Memphis Grizzlies, just destruction. Just destroyed. The Thunder killed them. Durant, 32, 10, and 6 with 3 steals. Westbrook, 13, 5, and 16 with 2 steals. Andre Robertson had 10 and 4 in his 22 minutes. Look, there's not really much. Look, even DJ Augustine got in on the action. 13 points, 3 threes, and 3 assists. It was just not ideal from the Grizzlies' point of view. But I'll tell you what who's also not ideal. Enes Kanter, 15 minutes, 6 and 5. I dropped him in a 12-team league. Pretty sure I did. I hope I did. I dropped him. I think that you can move on from him. The minutes are just not there for him. No matter what's happening, he's just not getting enough playing time to be justified holding in a league with 150 players rostered. Onto the Grizzlies. Marc Gasol hurt his ankle. He played 23 minutes, 11 and 4 with a block. We don't know the severity of it. Didn't appear massively serious, but it's an ankle, so these can blow up and get worse. And J. Michael Green also had a sprained knee. He looked really good in his 19 minutes, 11 and 4 with a steal, but he's still only a deep league candidate. Now, if say Gasol is out and Green is okay, with Brandon Ryder someone has to play center. They've got no big men, so maybe Green sees himself at 26, 27 minutes. That's a possibility. Mario Chalmers picked up the slack here, 19, 2, and 1 with 2 steals and a block. But we can't really read too much into this. This game was such a blowout that Mike Conley didn't score. He had 6 assists and went 0 of 7 from the field. That's not something that's going to happen all that often, I wouldn't have thought. The Orlando Magic and the Denver Nuggets up next. I actually like the way that Scott Skiles is running things now. Now, that might seem blasphemous, but he's been really consistent lately. 34 minutes to Vucevic, 32 to Toby Harris, 32 to Lord Alfred Payton, 33 to Victor Oladipo off the bench, 24 to Channing Frye, 26 to Evan Fournier. These are pretty consistent minutes. So, using guys like Vucevic and Harris and Payton, if they're at the right price in DFS, you're getting consistency from them. Victor Oladipo, 11-3-3 with 4 blocks. You're happy with that. Vucevic, 18 and 13 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. You're absolutely loving that. it is Scott Skiles, so anything can happen. Something stupid could happen at any point, but he's been very, very consistent of late, and that's a really good lineup to play. You've got to give Vucevic, Harris, Payton, Oladipo 30 minutes plus. The best four players, they've got to have that. Andrew Nicholson getting 21 minutes, 8 and 14. He's a 14-team league target. Mario Hezonja got back into the action here. He played 10 minutes with Aaron Gordon out with that ankle problem. He's still not really on the roster apart from dynasty formats. And Evan Fournier has dropped off considerably. Just 26 minutes for Fournier, 3-2 with a 3 and an assist. He's still a hold, but another couple of weeks of this sort of performance and I probably won't be saying the exact same thing. Onto the Nuggets, Will Barton making me look like an idiot here. 23-4-1, 3 threes, 4 steals and a block. 38 minutes, getting a stack of playing time. Obviously has to be owned everywhere. Jameer Nelson, thought he was a chance to put up some decent numbers against his old team, and he did. 6-3-5, 2 threes and 2 steals. A nice night there. Danilo Gallinari played through his knee issue, went 13-6 with a 1-1. And Emmanuel Mudiay is just struggling, really, really struggling. 22 minutes, 6-3-4 with a steal and a block. He is not a must-hold in standard leagues. It really does depend on your team. And even if you're a punt percentage team, you might not even hold on to him because he's not being trusted enough. He still had 5 turnovers in those 22 minutes. He's just not able to control what he needs to do. Still no Gary Harris, so Randy Foy got another start. Only played 17 minutes, and that's a real pain in the ass if you're trying to look at this stuff from a DFS point of view. And Joffre Lavergne apparently was available. He was sick. He moved out of the starting lineup, didn't play, and we had JJ Hixon back in action. 10-11 for Hixon with a block. Nikola Jokic played 17 off the bench. The front court is just something to avoid completely. Kenneth Faried went 7-11 with a couple of blocks as well, but that was brutal, going 2 of 12 from the field for Ken Faried. You know I'm not a big Kenneth Faried fan. The last game of the night, the Utah Jazz and the Sacramento Kings. That's a big win for the Kings, but let's look at the Jazz first. Gordon Hayward, 18-8-6 with 3 threes and 3 steals. He's really stepping it up, as is Derek Favors, 14-10 with 4 assists. Not Favors' best night, but the minutes are there. They're going to put up nice numbers. And Alec Burks off the bench had 18. Trey Burke had 12, 2 and 3 in his 21 minutes. Trevor Booker, 27 minutes for him. So after the first dud when everyone was all over him, he was atrocious. But the last few games have been very good from Trevor Booker. I think that he has spots in 12-team leagues. 12 and 10 for Booker off the bench. Trey Lyles is not up to it yet. Jeff Withey's not going to take away. It has to be Booker and Favors that play the bulk of those minutes and then play Hayward some at the 4. Rajon Rondo went 17-7 and 13 with 2 steals. A big night from him. Rudy Gay, 23-4, and DeMarcus Cousins finally shot over 50%, 23-12-6 with a 3 and a steal. 5 turnovers and only 6 of 10 from the line is not ideal, but a pretty good night from Boogie after that real stinker of a run he'd had. Omri Caspi started, played 41 minutes and went 19-10 with 3 threes. I reckon that he can be owned in 12-team leagues. And Ben McLemore, 10-2-2. He's probably not a 10-team league guy at this point. Darren Collison, not a good night. 25 minutes, 6 points, 1 assist. I would still hold in most situations. It really depends, I guess, on your team and who else is available and how strong things are. But he's still a borderline 12-team league guy to me. Well, that's how I see it anyway. All right, we are done for the daily recap part of the program. Just going to take a quick break now, then we'll be back to look at DFS action for Wednesday. I saw ya. Get into these games and look at them from a daily fantasy point of view. There is 10 games on the slate for Wednesday. First one up is the Miami Heat and the Charlotte Hornets. The Heat are favored by 1.5 points here. The total is 192.5, so pretty low total. Doesn't mean there isn't any fantasy value. There's just not as much as what we might see in other games. Luol Deng looks like he's going to be ready to return after missing about the last couple of weeks with a hamstring problem. So that's going to remove Gerald Green from our list of value plays because he is he struggled in most of them, and he's going to go back to a 20-minute role. Cody Zeller's been really good lately. He put up almost 30 in the last game. He's priced at 4,000. I think this is a decent spot for him. As good as the Heat are defensively, He's getting an extra run. He's really cheap. I do like using Cody Zeller here. If you're looking for a tournament option, Justice Winslow only is a tournament play. He's been just doing nothing lately, though. So even then, it's not a must-add player. There's not much else, to be honest, in this game. Hassan Whiteside didn't play many minutes in the last game. He's averaging only 24 minutes across his last three games. He's at 7,700. I don't want to put that sort of money into someone who might not get enough minutes. Marvin Williams, relatively solid, 5,100. He gave you 28 in the last game. He's averaging 24 across his last five. That's, you know, almost where you need to be at 5,100. It's a nice matchup for him against the Heat. I think that he can put up some numbers, so he's someone to have a look at. Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, they're too expensive for me. I do like Nick Batum, though. He's priced at 7,500, so that seems like it's expensive, but he's averaging 35 across the last five, 39 across his last three, put up 34 in the last game, and he's really consistent. You're going to get 33 to 35 or 37 points from Nick Batum, and that can be enough if you've got a few other high-value guys in your lineup. Kemba Walker is a little bit harder to sort of get a read on. At 7,700, only averaging 25.7 across the last three, I don't think that I want to be getting him out there. And I definitely don't want to be getting Luol Deng if he happens to return. Goran Dragic is worth a look. At 5,900, he's averaging 31. He looks to be playing a little bit better. It's still not screaming massive value, though. If he was down at 5,000 with the way that he's playing, then I'd be all over him. But are we 100% convinced that he's out of this form slump? I'm not quite there yet. The next game is the Houston Rockets and the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are favored by 2.5. Massive total here, 214.5. Marcin Gortat should be back for this game, so that's going to obviously help the Wizards. We don't know if Nene is going to play. We don't know if Drew Gooden is going to play. And on the Houston side of things, there's Trevor Ariza we need to pay attention to as well. Jared Dudley is 3,600. And for all the, I'm going to say hype, but that's the wrong word, all the shit that's been heaped on him, he actually put up a pretty decent game in the last one, 19.3. And if he gives you 19.3 at 3,600, you're happy. And he's playing the Rockets, which give up big numbers to a lot of teams. And even if Gortat returns, Dudley's still going to be the power forward, and he's still probably going to play close to 30 minutes. So I'm okay with using Jared Dudley. Patrick Beverley has been a pretty solid guy as well, 4,100, averaging over 22. The salary hasn't really caught up. I think that you can look at him as a solid cash game play in most sort of situations. I do like Brad Beal, though, at 7,400. Averaging 38 and then gets a Rockets boost. And John Wall, same at 9,200. He's averaging 42. Then he gets the Rockets boost. So both of those guys could be in for some decent numbers. And Marcin Gortat at 6,200, I reckon he's in a pretty decent spot as well. If we happen to hear confirmation that he plays, we don't know that yet, but there's you can look at that. Otto Porter has also bounced back lately. Again, a Rockets boost, 31.8 across his last three after a couple of real quiet games. He is someone that you can have a look at. And do you think James Harden's going to score 10 points again? I probably don't. He's 10,800. There are 10 games on, so maybe he's not the best guy to have a look at. But it's definitely not horrible to me. He could easily drop a 50 here, and you'd be pretty happy with it. If Ariza doesn't go, then we look at Marcus Thornton back at minimum salary and Corey Brewer at 3,600. Both of those guys would be significant guys to take a look at. And the power forward spot, I'm staying away from Capella, Jones, and obviously Motiejunas at this point. Also, if Dwight Howard's playing less than 30 minutes at his salary, I don't think I want to spend up on him. The next game up is the Chicago Bulls and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are favored by 3. The total is 201. David Lee is questionable with a sore heel, and RJ Hunter missed the last game with a hip flexor problem. If Lee doesn't play, there's hopefully more minutes for Kelly Olynyk. So he is a tournament option only. He's 4,100. We know he can drop a 35 or a 40-point game pretty comfortably, but the minutes are just not consistent enough. I really love Jared Sullinger here as well. The Bulls do allow opposition power forwards to put up pretty big numbers. He's put up a 36.5 in the last game. He's at $6,000. I think that he is a decent guy to look at. And Nikola Mirotic, again, for a guy that gets shit heaped on him, he almost put up 30 in the last game. He's at 5,600. He's been relatively stable with the numbers he's been putting up, and he's getting relatively stable minutes most of the time. So I'm okay with using Mirotic. And Jay Crowder at 5,200, that's not a bad cash game play. I think that he'll be that steady high 20s to 30 point range. Jimmy Butler's 8,200. It's just too expensive. I don't think he's going to get close to returning that sort of value, especially against the Celtics, who do shut down opposition point guards pretty well. Isaiah Thomas is now at 8,000. That's making it a little bit tougher to use him, but this is a pretty good matchup for opposition point guards. He is averaging 41 across the last three, so don't ignore Isaiah Thomas. Avery Bradley, 5,900. No, I don't think I want to use him there. And Pau Gasol at 8,500. Averaging almost 50 across his last three, 44 across his last five. I reckon you can use Pau Gasol. He's been red hot. There's no other way of putting it. The next game is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Detroit Pistons. Memphis is going to want to bounce back pretty strong here. The Pistons are favored by three. The total is 192. We need to check injuries, though. Marc Gasol with his ankle, Jermichael Green with his knee. That's going to have a big impact on a lot of different players in this one. So, assuming Gasol is out, Zach Randolph's going to have to play a fair bit of center. So maybe we see 6,400 for Zach Randolph is not a horrible play. He hasn't been great, but maybe some extra responsibility? Not sure. I probably wouldn't be putting too much trust in it. Reggie Jackson at 7,300 was brutal in the last game, but I like the fact that price is down to 7,300. I don't hate using him. He's averaging 37 across his last five. I reckon you could, hopefully, with a recency bias against him, you could get a low percentage ownership. And Stanley Johnson projects out really well in this game, but it's minimum salary. It's a tournament play only to me. Andre Drummond at 9,200, not averaging 40 across his last three. He could get 40 in this one, but I'm not really sure. It depends. If Gasol doesn't play, I like Drummond to put up some better numbers. And Mike Conley at 6,700 is just, he struggled in the last game, but had been relatively good coming into it. So I'm not worried about him, but it's not a good matchup. So we'll probably avoid using him. And Marc Gasol, there's too much uncertainty to use him in this game. So I think we'll leave him alone. Hassan Ilyasova is a little bit sneaky. 4,400. He put up 33 in the last one. It's more tournaments, though, because he is quite fluky with what he can do. But we know that he's got the ability to go up there and put up 35 points, and that could be key to you placing pretty high in a tournament. The next game is the Spurs and the Raptors. The Spurs are favored by 5. The total is 188 here, so that's the lowest total on the board. Kawhi Leonard is apparently still sick with gastroenteritis. He may not play. I would be shocked if he didn't play. Lucas Nogueira for the Raptors is questionable with an ankle sprain. I really want to see Nogueira get out there because he was just starting to really, really get things going. If Nogueira doesn't play, Bismack Biyombo at 4,000 becomes an interesting guy to look at. If Nogueira does play, I avoid both of them. Didn't think we'd get to a situation where we'd have Danny Green as a minimum salary player, but here we are. He is priced at 3,500. He has been really bad. It is strictly a tournament only play. I can't recommend using him in cash games because he's been so bad. Corey Joseph at 4,400 has got consistent minutes, averaging 31 across his last five. He's giving you about 20 points across that time. He's not spectacular, but he is pretty rock solid with what he's able to do. Kyle Lowry can be spectacular, 9,300 for him, averaging 50. I'm definitely okay with using him here. This is of all the Spurs shut down other teams pretty well, but point guards they don't reduce them too much. And Terrence Ross at 3,800 had a massive game in the last one. I probably don't expect him to drop 33 points like he did, 33 fantasy points, but at 3,800 and with an expanded role with no Damari Carroll, it's a tough matchup, but at that salary, I think you do have to consider using him in a lot of situations. Kawhi Leonard at 8,800, you need him to go 40, 45 points. I'm not sure that I really want to invest in him in this matchup, whereas DeMar DeRozan at 7,400 I think is an okay play. I think that he can look all right. Now, it's a really tough matchup for opposition shooting guards, but he's not a terrible guy to look at. The Lakers and the Minnesota Timberwolves are up next. The Timberwolves are favored by 6.5. The total is 204 in this game. My man Byron Scott came out and said that D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle will be seeing minutes in the 21 to 25 range for the near future. So let's talk seasonal league for a minute. If there's someone else you want, if they're going to play 21 to 25 in the next 10 games, and you really need to get some stats happening now, they're both only back end of your bench guys anyway. They're probably the worst one or two players on your team anyway. So you're holding them, and I don't think that their value is going to be top 70 or anything like that for the season. So if you want to move on from them, I totally understand it. We're not using them in DFS, clearly, but Larry Nance becomes a beneficiary. He's at 3,600. He put up 18 in the last game. He played 29 minutes. If Randall's limited, he's going to play close to 30 minutes. So he's someone that's worth a look. Lou Williams also at 4,600 has been getting big minutes lately. Inexcusable big minutes to me, but that's what he's been doing. That's what the man in charge has been allowing. At 4,600, I reckon you have to definitely look at Lou Williams. Timberwolves, there's a couple of good players here as well. Gorgui Dieng's been really solid. 4,600, almost a must play. Karl Anthony Towns, he put up 29 in the last game. He's averaging 31 across his last three. He's at 6,900 against the Lakers. It's a decent matchup. And Ricky Rubio destroyed the Lakers last time he played them. He's at 7,100. You could get a 30 or 35 spot out of Ricky Rubio, and you wouldn't be too shocked. Jordan Clarkson at 5,600 struggled in the last game, struggled over the last couple. I don't think that we want to spend up for him. Kobe Bryant at 6,700. Yeah, maybe, but I'm not in love with it. And not much else really stands out to me in this game. Andrew Wiggins is down to 7,000. It's becoming a little bit more palatable. And especially going up against the Lakers, he could have a big game, but I'm not in love with using him in daily fantasy. There's barely been a time to me where I thought, yeah, Andrew Wiggins is in a great spot for a daily fantasy matchup. The next game is the Clippers and the Bucks. It looks like we're going to have no Jared Bayless and no Grievous Vasquez for at least this next week. So we're going to see more OJ Mayo and we're going to see more Michael Carter-Williams. OJ Mayo is priced at 4,600. I reckon that he's someone you want to look at. Averaging 26 across the last three games, being really consistent with what he's been able to do. I reckon that that price, you love it. Jabari Parker at 5,000, he's coming into consideration now. Over 30 minutes or over 34 minutes in the last two games, giving you some decent fantasy production at 5,000. He was someone that you needed to stay away from to start the season. But now, it's all okay. Not really, but you know what I mean. He's putting up much better numbers and much better value than what he was earlier. Michael Carter-Williams at 5,400. It's risky to use him, but the minutes, if Bayless is out and if, who's the other guy? Vasquez is out. Carter-Williams is going to still have to get decent run. Blake Griffin at 9,300. It's probably a bit expensive for me. He's been playing well, but not hitting that value point. And I like Greg Monroe at 7,700. He's been getting 36 points across his last three. He's been relatively consistent. He's not getting massive minutes, but he's still putting up enough fantasy stats. JJ Redick, no thank you. Chris Paul at 8,600, it's sort of appealing, but he's just not doing it at the moment. He just doesn't seem quite healthy enough. And Chris Middleton at 5,600, I'm going to want more out of him, much like I want a little bit more out of Giannis Antetokounmpo. He needs to do a little bit more for my liking. Not much else really stands out to me in this game as being something that I really want to focus on. The next game is the Orlando Magic and the Phoenix Suns. The Suns are favored by 4.5. The total is 206.5 points. Aaron Gordon is questionable with that ankle issue. Tyson Chandler is questionable with his hamstring. And I don't think we're going to see any CJ Watson for Orlando. John Lua into the starting lineup. You'd have to think he's going to get close to 30 minutes again. 4,400. Very, very good play for all sorts of daily fantasy. He's a must add to me in 12-team leagues as well, with Markieff Morris basically done. Eric Bledsoe at 8,500. It's expensive, but I think this is a very, very tasty matchup for him. And Brandon Knight at 7,700 also has some value. Nick Vucevic has been killing it lately. He's only at 7,200 still. He put up 43 on Tuesday. I reckon you can go ahead and use him. Now, in terms of the Alex Len situation, he's been really, really good. He's at 4,300. Is Orlando big enough for him to get big minutes if Chandler's out? Well, Vucevic is going to play most of the game. So I think that Len could see 25 to 27 minutes, so he's not a terrible guy to look at, assuming Chandler doesn't play. Toby Harris at 6,500, yeah, he's okay. I'm not that excited by it. And 7,600 is still too expensive for me for Victor Oladipo, but I do like Lord Alfred Payton at 6,800, averaging almost 35 across the last three. That's really good at that sort of salary, and the minutes have really stabilized for him, and he's looking a lot better as a player. Tournament watch, Devin Booker, 3,700, played big minutes, played down the stretch, put up 26 in the last game. He's a great tournament option, I think. Mirza Teletovic is also an awesome tournament option at 4,200. He's averaging almost 20 points across the last few games. He's streaky, so it's hard to rely on him in cash games, but I do like his ability in a tournament, in one of your lineups, to see exactly, what happens, because he could go up and put up 30 points and really push you right up the top of those standings. The next game is the Knicks and the Jazz. The Jazz are favored by 3, and the total is 190 in this game. Trey Burke, the minutes were down in the last game, but he's been pretty solid at 4,800. I don't hate using him. Derek Favors at 83 and Gordon Hayward at 6,700. Both of those guys are really benefiting from having no Rudy Gobert, so they're worth a look, as is Rodney Hood at 4,500, who had a bit of a bounce-back game. It's not a great matchup for him against the Knicks, but hopefully he gets a bit of confidence and can play some decent minutes and put up a nice line. Alec Burks has been solid, but at 5,500, I'm not sure that it's a great... the right price for him. You probably want him under 5,000 would be ideal. Trevor Booker at 4,000, yep, go ahead and use him in a tournament. You're probably looking at comfortably 22 to 24 points. Even a cash game, I think you should be able to rely on him. Kristaps Porzingis at 7,200, averaging just under 30. Maybe that's a little bit expensive against the Jazz, but remember, no Rudy Gobert. So I think that Porzingis is in a spot here where we can look to use him, because he's been, outside of like one game recently, he's been fantastic. Robin Lopez, forget about it. Jose Calderon is cheeky at 4,700. I think that he's going to have some value. Put up 31 in the last game, but it's not an ideal matchup for him either. That's it. Last game of the night is the Atlanta Hawks and the Dallas Mavericks. We've got a couple of Hawks guys listed on the injury report. Kyle Korver and Thabo Sefolosha, due to it being... they're being probable due to their ankle issues. I think they'll both play. They haven't missed any of the recent back-to-backs. Thiago Splitter has also been upgraded to probable with his hip, but he's not impacting daily fantasy. On the Dallas side of things, we need to check JJ Barea and Devin Harris, because if they both don't play, Ray Felton becomes someone we really want to take a good hard look at, because he will play 30 minutes plus, almost guaranteed. Otherwise, there's not a massive amount of fantasy value in this game. Paul Millsap at 8,400 is solid, but I don't love it. Now, Wes Matthews at 5,400. Yeah, maybe, but... And he's averaging 33, but that includes one big game in the middle of that. So you can sort of have a look at him, but I don't really put massive trust there. 7,000 for Al Horford, I think, is a decent amount. I reckon you can look to value there. And same with 7,000 for Deron Williams. I reckon we can get something out of him, who's been playing really well, as has Dirk at 7,200, averaging a 35.5 across his last three games. Anything else we really need to talk about here? Jeff Teague, maybe, averaging close to 30 in his last three at 6,800. I don't think it's a superb option for him, though. And Kent Bazemore at 5,100, everyone's darling to start the season, and we probably don't need to be too concerned about using Kent Bazemore. Next minute, he puts up 50. All right, guys, let's talk about our one of the sponsors for today, and that is No Halftime. You know what No Halftime is? It is an app on your iPhone. All you need to do is download the app, use the promo code DUNK, and you get $25 free. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? $25 free. So what No Halftime is, say you're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent, and you're thinking to yourself, I just want to challenge one of their guys, not his entire team. I pick one guy, he has one guy, we go head-to-head. Regular fantasy sports services don't allow that. The No Halftime app can. It allows you to create individual challenges using players or teams. For example, you can pick Kristaps Porzingis versus Karl Anthony Towns, LeBron versus Melo, Harden versus Steph, Shane Larkin versus Will Barton, anyone. Creating a challenge takes seconds, and accepting challenges is even easier. No Halftime challenges can be private or public, and they can cross over lots of different sports, NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, college football, college basketball, and more. Join today, get started, real money and fantasy supremacy awaits you. Visit nohalftime.com for more information and to download the app for your iPhone and receive that $25 bonus just by entering the promo code DUNK, which you can see on the screen below you and you can hear in your ears as I'm saying it. And not only does it help support the podcast, but it gives you $25 to play around with. No Halftime is where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, now we move on to our daily fantasy plays of the day. Point guard, Trey Burke, 4,800. Ricky Rubio, 7,100 against the Lakers. And John Wall at 9,200. Shooting guards, OJ Mayo, who's a de facto point guard at the moment. He's 4,600. Brad Beal, 74. And Eric Bledsoe, 85. Small forwards, Jared Dudley, 3,600 as a punt tournament play. Gordon Hayward, 6,700. And Nick Batum at 75. Power forwards, we have John Lua at 4,400. Jared Sullinger at 6,000. And Derek Favors at 8,300. Whereas at center, we have Gorgie Jang at 4,600, Karl Anthony Towns at 6,900, and Big Greg Monroe at 7,700. That is it, guys. We are done for today. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball, and make sure you're following Basketball Monster as well, at Basque Monster. Up to the minute, lineup news, injury alerts, status changes, role changes, all that sort of stuff. Myself, Kyle, McEwen, Matt Smith, and Ken will be monitoring that feed through every day's game all season, and you'll be the first to know anything as it happens. So make sure you are checking out Basketball Monster and the website basketballmonster.com with tons of tools and stats for your season-long league and your daily fantasy league. Also, make sure you're checking out Hardwood Paroxysm and all of the Hardwood Paroxysm podcasts and articles. There's a stack of really interesting stuff that goes up on that website. Nylon Calculus part of that as well, which Seth Partnow does a fantastic job. You'll hear Seth's stuff referenced all over the NBA. You'll hear Nate Duncan talk about him on his podcast. He talks about Seth and his stats all the time. There are plenty of NBA guys who are very into what Seth can do, and they know that he's got some tremendous. I think the other day I saw Dean Oliver, the father of basketball analytics, who were retweeting something of Seth. So a lot of people know what Seth's going on about, and he's got some really great stats over on Nylon Calculus. That's it. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.